If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in DC. Today, my returning guest is writer-director Jay Arnold. I love Jay. We have so much to talk about. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Jay Arnold. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Hi, Kimberly. Thanks for having me.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I feel like I have my bedroom voice on this morning.
I know, you're all sexy.
Must have been getting off of an airplane, so probably have COVID by tomorrow.
No,
That out in the universe.
No. Oh my God. Well, first of all, I'm just so happy to have you here. You know, I absolutely adore you. And there's so much for us to talk about. I don't even know where to get started. But I guess I think I know where to get started. First, I want to just open this up to, I'm really actually feeling optimistic, and there's a number of reasons why. And part of that is because I'm not watching cable news. I watch a little bit of Joy Reid, and then I watch probably the first half an hour of Lawrence, who I think Lawrence is like, I love him so much. I do like Katie Fang too. And there's a few decent people over at MSNBC who I respect and everything. But right now, this horse race bullshit, I can't fucking deal with it. I want to keep my blood pressure down. And so I've noticed this week I've not watched them and I feel really good. I'm paying attention to people who I trust. And I'm just, you know, just to name some of them, there's Hal Sparks, Allison Gill. And then as far as polls are concerned, it's Simon Rosenberg and Tom Bonier. I listen to Christopher Boozy, and that's the one I'm going to talk about in a minute. And then I'm trying to think of other people, but those are the main, Bob Seska, of course, and, you know, Lawrence O'Donnell, as I've mentioned, but those are the people, and Stephanie Miller, those are the people that are kind of understanding how important it is for Biden to stay in the race. Biden has said he's going to stay in the race, and I'm going to reiterate this and keep saying it, because Christopher Boozy, who has been accurate time and again since 2022, not just about the 22 elections, but like all these subsequent special elections, he's been getting it right when the polls have been telling us something different. So he's predicting 350 electoral for Biden, maybe more. He understands that that sounds crazy, but that's because so many people are looking at the polls and taking them like they're gospel, and they're not. We just saw the French election. The polls were off, way off. The polls were way off for us in 2022. So Boosie gets inside information that we're not getting. And, you know, he does think we're going to be able to flip Florida. And maybe we will and maybe we won't. And if we don't, we can still win this. But I think that what it's going to be, if it's truly 350 or more, it's going to be those slim margins that those Republicans are going to try to take to the Supreme Court. But if 270 of those electoral votes are not slim and they're solid, then we can play around. You know, it doesn't matter if they like say Florida wins by 10,000 votes and they challenge it and the Supreme Court says no, Florida goes to Trump. Well, that we can still afford it. Biden still wins. So I think, you know, if we're listening to the people and we're listening to the voters who want Biden to stay, I think we're going to see a landslide. Don't get happy, but I think we're going to see it. What do you think about this?
Wow, that's a lot to unpack. Mm-hmm. I think that I feel optimistic also. I think at the end of the day, Democrats, I'm not thinking about at all, because I know that try to true Democrats are going to vote for whoever the Democratic. It's going to be Biden unless something happens to Biden. But I think Democrats are going to fall in line. They recognize the threat, the existential threat of Trump's 2025. I don't know her project. Was like a little cue for Mariah Carey, right? And I think that that's not the issue. That the issue really is independents and moderates.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to be very much up to us. We need to stop eating each other. Mm-hmm. We're eating our own. You know, everybody's got to know, you know, oh, I mean, how many times does Biden have to say, I'm staying in the race? What's the magic number? 10, 20, right. 500, 5,000? I feel as though that once he said, I am staying in the race, that's it. Okay. Yep. Until he said that, then everyone had a good reason to question. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've seen him on television. He just did that. Wasn't Teamsters, I forget who he did.
AFL-CIO.
I mean, he's been fantastic, and I don't, you know, this is 100% a media horse race.
Yes, it's a media manufacturer. 100%,
and I'm not giving them that like you. As you know, you've seen all my posts, I've canceled all my mainstream media subscriptions. It hurt to get rid of WAPO. Every one of them is gone. What I did, in fact, last week, because you're on there and so was Bob, by the way, I did two threads of alternatives to independent journalism that are to mainstream journalism that are good independents. And yes, you're on there and Bob's on there and Allison is on there. And there's, you know, I did a part one and a part two because there were just too many, you know? But I have, like you, I'm much stressed out because I'm not hearing the bias. I'm hearing the real deal. And yes, you know, people like Joyce Vance, sometimes they tell you, you know, look, I hate to say it, but I think, you know, I don't think this is going to fly. Well, okay, that's a fact. I want to hear that. I want to know what's real, right?
Right. Yeah.
But none of the people on any of those, we don't really have, you know, it's a different agenda. Right.
Yeah.
We're not looking to praise a billionaire overlord or to make money. You know, it's just a different context. So I've been getting all of mine from there. I think that I do think that we have an extremely good shot. I do worry that within the Democratic Party, we can't get consensus shut up and fall in line. I mean, you know, Republicans are out of their minds, but what they haven't, but what they're good at is they fall in line. Mm-hmm. Even though this guy is a convicted felon, loser, criminal animal,
yeah,
they're in line. They fall in line. You know,
I think
Biden's the nominee. Mm-hmm. He said he's in. That's that.
Mm-hmm. That's that. And
second guess the president. I'm not doing that. Yeah. He's had an exceptional 3.5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And here's the other thing. As far as this stepping down fucking bullshit going. Now, obviously, if Biden had said, you know, look, I think it's time for me to step down. Fine. The only person who can do this is Kamala Harris, because she's the only one getting the war chest. She's the only one getting the infrastructure. This doesn't happen if, you know, there's this magic idea like Gavin Newsom's just going to come in and save the country.
No, that's not going to happen.
No,
that's
and not he hasn't happen. Been too vetted. Late.
I think the only option, and Biden has already made this decision, but I think the only option he really would have had in any recent number of days, mm-hmm, would be to flip the ticket. And I don't think that... I don't really think that's the answer.
No,
to be honest,
it's not.
But you know, I mean, he's already in his mind. Here's something I'd really like to see. In his mind, clearly, he sees the heart of it. He sees the path forward, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he would say, if everything felt good and was right, and he thought he could step away, I think he would.
Yes.
He said he only ran the first time because of Trump,
uh-huh,
and he saw that. Okay. But what I would really like to see is that hideous joke of a red herring that they call the Republican platform to distract from Project 2025. I would like to see, okay, for each one of those points, what is our forward-looking position on these things?
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because it is forward-looking.
It is. Yes. 100%. Mm-hmm. And, I want to take this back to Kamala, because Kamala would be the only person that he would choose. It's like, again, it's not going to be Gavin. It's not going to be Pete Buttigieg.
Yes.
And she's already fucking there. That's what she's there for. So everybody needs to, you know, they just don't want it to be Kamala. That's the thing nobody's saying. And,
correct,
you know,
of course. It's not, they don't hate Joe Biden. They hate Kamala.
Yes. And what they're afraid of is that maybe in his second term, he's going to pass the torch. Everybody keeps telling him to pass the torch. Well, he may very well do that in his second term. He may last.
Right.
He may not last. But that's what everybody's fucking freaking out about.
Of course
it
is.
And it's
and
so gross.
I will say, though, that at least they've kind of let her out.
Yes.
Okay. And I do think she's done an exceptionally good job in the last month. I think that she can speak to this horrific abortion ban nightmare and privacy rights and bodily rights, both to youth,
mm-hmm,
and to Black Americans in a way that other people cannot.
Yes. Definitely 100%.
And I think she's really effective. And I think that, if we can just unify, I think, you know, I have a set of, in my mind, I have a set of things I say to anyone that is not a Democrat. I say different things to Republicans. I say different things to independents. I say different things to moderates. But I think there's more than enough between quote-unquote entitlements, between Medicare, Social Security cuts, making ages older, getting rid of all that stuff, right to make a decision with about their own body. This is insane. Okay. And I really do believe, just like in all the red states that it's been put on the ballot, women can tell their husbands, Republican or otherwise, whatever they think they want. But when they go in that curtain and they, mm-hmm, pull that debt, they are not going to vote for it. Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. It's
no.
already been proven in the reddest of states.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I do think, once again, we have to count on women, mm-hmm, to carry this election, mm-hmm, because, white men traditionally are the problem.
Well, white women are also kind of the problem in a lot of cases, unfortunately, because as a voting bloc, they seem to go for Republicans. Right. I don't
they
know.
They are, but I do think that
this time it's going to be different
women,
because of Roe.
But yeah. I think Roe is kind of corrected that a little bit.
I agree. And all this talk about banning IVF, I think they're starting to recognize.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and contraception.
And
right?
contraception. And so right. I just think that, you know, that's why I think we're going to have this landslide. And I mean, I can understand why people say, oh, I don't buy into it, because we are constantly being gaslit by the media. Although I think the media narrative is starting to shift, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
I agree. I feel the shift too.
Yeah.
And we both know why, and we could talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, but I think as far as, you know, where we're headed is, if Boozy's correct in this 350, Biden got 306 the last time. He only has gained support. And as you know, we're fighting back against the media, and the media is starting to talk about this, I'm just going to call it Trump's Project 2025. These libertarians don't want to fucking be told what to do with their bodies. You know, I mean, I'm not a big libertarian fan, but I do understand this about them.
Nobody wants to be told what to
exactly.
do with their bodies.
And okay. so I think, you know, I think that he is not, it just doesn't, the math doesn't add up. And right. when you look at at what we're seeing, it doesn't add up. And it hasn't been for years.
I think that what a lot of people are missing here is, there is no circumstance in which we would have a candidate that they will not drag and torture.
Exactly.
Okay? It's not going to be
exactly.
the bumbler mumbler.
Right.
It's going to be the DEI. It's mm-hmm. going to be the loser, the other baby killer, the other. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just the hook. The debate was the hook. That's mm-hmm. what they got. And they're running with it. The more and more we are refusing, and I've seen a good number of Google searches on canceling New York to all
yes.
this. I cannot imagine that they disappeared from threads for half the morning and said they didn't know why. No, I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I don't believe anything they have to say. And I really do believe, looking at social media, seeing clips of thank you for you've unsubscribed, there has to be enough that is at least it's the whole wallet situation, right?
It's always the
wallet.
Yeah.
You say I'm leaving, please stay, we'll give you anything, can you talk to a person, how about if we give you a dollar, how about if you pay nothing, no goodbye, you know,
yeah.
no next case, that's it, you're done.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yesterday I did give money to the Guardian.
Well, the Guardian is great, but it's interesting because now this morning we're seeing the New York Times has editorial board, Donald Trump is unfit to lead.
Right. They're not getting me back with one day late and a day late and a dollar short. Give me 3 months of fair, objective reporting and I'll think about it.
Right. And so, but this is where the media shift is happening, because there's that. And then there's also, where is it? Okay, so this is from Biden Wins, the Twitter account.
Yeah.
It says, CNN is now reporting that over 140 Project 2025 workers were at one point employed by the Trump White House or campaign. The cat is out of the bag. A Donald Trump presidency would mean the implementation of the blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, CNN is reporting it. And then the Los Angeles Times, one candidate is patently unfit for the White House. It's not Biden. So this is, we're seeing a narrative shift they're getting
and
all the blowback.
And did you see the Will Bunch article that said that Trump's denial of 2025 may actually be his biggest downfall so far?
Wow. Awesome.
That's from
the
Philadelphia Inquirer, I believe. I think it was Phil Bunch who said just yesterday, within the last day, I think the article said, he's lying, like he lied about Stormy and everything else, and he's been caught.
Yes, yes, 100%. And it's just, it's. That's why I'm feeling good. I'm not saying that we don't have an urgent threat. We, you know, the big bad wolf is at the door. But I think that, you know, finally Democrats are getting a little bit alpha. You know, I keep seeing people, and I won't mention their names, and they're trying so hard to make us all be civil, and I'm screaming fuck you to everybody who's not unifying. Yes. And I feel like that's my role. You know, I'm not an expert. I'm not like a cable news pundit. I'm just a fucking big mouth feminist who, this is what I've always done. I have always told everybody to fuck off who I think is wrong. And of course, you know, I back it up and everything. It's not just fuck off. But still, I am so fucking tired of Democrats asking the bullies to please stop bullying them. I'm done. Yes. And so, you know, so let's move over to George Clooney, Rob Reiner, Mehdi Hasan. Obviously with George Clooney, it has to do with his wife. This is about sanctions.
This is totally retribution because she was put on the list, right?
Yes.
So she, you know, he pointed a finger. Here's the reality. It's true. Okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make her, you know, I'm not judging her for it. She's an attorney and, like, you know, I mean, attorneys take criminal cases and all kinds of insane things. Okay. But this is retribution and it's stupid because to pick up your toys and go home and turn on the president of the United States in one of the absolute most critical elections of our lifetime is really just a selfish, childish, nasty act. And let me tell you, it really turns me off to George Clooney.
Me too. And, you know, he's sitting there in his fucking Italian villa where if Donald Trump becomes president, he doesn't have to suffer the consequences. We all fucking do. And with Rob Reiner, you know, I mean, I know he's friends with Stephanie Miller and it's really hard for me because he's pissing me off. But I just think that he is, and I'm seeing this with obviously not all, but a lot of white men, especially white, wealthy white men, are allowing their emotions to cloud their judgment because basically white men have had it easy that, you know, you might hear arguments from people, well, I had it really hard. Okay, as a fucking collective, white men have it the easiest in the world. Not just America, the fucking world. That doesn't mean every white man has it easy, but the fact that they are so privileged in their wealth bubble, in their, you know, hey, we can just move to another country if America turns fascist. Most people who live here don't have that option. And so,
don't you think that a bunch of all of these old white men, that a lot of it is really projection, that they're, you know what I'm saying? They don't want to think about the fact that yeah, I just think that they're just terrified of the whole notion of turning old themselves.
I think it's that.
They don't want to be. They're like, oh, I can't be that, and I can't, you know. I think there's a lot of that in there.
And I think there's internalized misogyny, which people don't even recognize they have.
Of course.
And then I think it's just also, I think they genuinely believe that, oh, I'm doing the best for the country because we need Gavin Newsom or whatever it is they think. But they don't understand, stick to fucking acting. And you're allowed to have your opinion. They're allowed to have their opinion. And we're allowed to fight back against it. And, I just feel like if you don't know what you're fucking talking about, and they don't, because they're not offering a viable path. The only viable path would be Kamala Harris, and they don't want to fucking hear that. So they're not even worth listening to. They're just babies who are throwing a little tantrum because they don't like what's happening.
It's all entitlement. And he's, he's using
his platform.
You know, he's using his status as pressure, you know. I think it's just, how many times have we seen celebrities do something trigger?
Yeah. And, celebrities have a right.
And in some cases, is he going to bring down his career? No, but no. I think he's going to lose a lot of, people that really love him. Because I think that it was none of his business to use this kind of heavy duty influence peddling.
Yeah.
Okay. Just because it was a personal issue. He's already raised money for Biden. He's already made his support for Biden clear. So now he just looks like a child who picked up his toys and went home.
Yeah, and it's just so, I'm so over it. And frankly, you know, listen to black women. We got to listen to black people. Black people save us over and over again. We can't keep relying on them.
Black women have been saving us in every election for the last decade or two.
Yeah.
For sure.
And we have to understand that. And I mean, it shouldn't be that way. I wish more white men and more white women would wake up to this. And obviously, not all. You and I are white, and we know better. But there's a lot of people out there who just, I don't know. There's racism, there's misogyny, there's so much. And frankly, Donald Trump has taken us backwards. So before, you know, I think if you were to run Hillary Clinton right now, you can't do it under the same circumstances, but I think if Hillary would have run in a climate like this, I don't believe her numbers would be as high as they were back in 2016. And somebody, you know, like Elizabeth Warren or whether it's Kamala Harris, I think the chances of them winning a presidency at this point has gone backwards because of the effect of Donald Trump. And I'm not saying, I'm certain, I just want to be really clear to my listeners. It's not because I don't believe in them. It's because I feel like damage has been done and we've gone backwards and we have to work to get back to a place where we were in 2016. And then we have to keep pushing forward. And the only way we're going to do that is with some fucking alpha attitude. We need some alpha.
Listen, to be fair, Elizabeth Warren has said, increase and balance the Supreme Court for a decade?
Yeah,
I mean, forever.
Yeah, okay? She was saying it when
and
Biden had that
nobody
power.
Listens to her. Nobody. You know, it was never, didn't really matter. And as she's, one of the most senior senators. But in the same time, we have one of the most junior House members with articles of impeachment.
Yes, AOC has written articles of impeachment against
Alito.
Well, then
to be fair, you know, she is the most to lose here.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Does, yes.
But still in all, and I will say one thing about AOC, and I don't know, at least 3, 4, 5 years when I was back on the other place, I used to tweet all the time, I can't stand her. And I never, ever told anyone what it was. And for years, people asked me who was her. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I was not, I thought her attitude was terrible. I thought she was too far. And interestingly, I've watched her, and I think I replied to someone's tweet yesterday. It's like somebody sent her to parochial school when she got slapped on the knuckles a couple of times and figured out, okay, now I understand how it really works. Mm-hmm.
She understands.
She has really, you know, she still says a lot of things that make me crazy, you know, things Israel, this, that, you know, I don't want to go there. But I will say that I feel like we've watched her and some of the other younger members really matured, starting to figure out, this is what it looks like, but this is what the game really is like.
Yeah.
This is what it's about. This is really what's at stake. And I thought it was, you know, the big picture greenhouse, but at the end of the day, we're losing democracy. So we need to deal with that, right? And so I think that we have a lot of really, really, really great young politicians that, I think the next couple of decades looks very promising.
And I think that, you know, speaking to her progressivism, I mean, when she first came on the scene, I kind of had the same idea that you had, like, I'm just going to watch. I didn't dislike her. I didn't always agree with everything she said, but I agreed with a lot of it. And I am a very, very, very progressive person, and I believe in a lot of the things that she says. But like you said, this is kind of a game, even though it isn't, but it is. It's a sport, and you have to be strategic. And in order to, you know, I mean, when you hear progressives talk about, like, talking about a slow-moving progression is a bad thing, it isn't. We are in a country with people who are all the way to the right, so we can't expect everyone to jump on the progressive train. And again, I'm very Elizabeth Warren, but you have to go incrementally. It's always incrementally. And I think AOC fully understands that. And like any other politician, like you just said, you're not going to agree with everything they say. They're going to piss you off sometimes, and you're going to look at their body of work. And she got in when she was young, and she's still very young, but she's understanding right now what's important, and I'm really grateful for it. And I want to say this, because I see people all the time, I call them the Democratic Eeyores, and they're always fucking negative, and they'll say things like, they're not going to get impeached. This is so important, because let's just say they don't get impeached, right? I don't have a lot of faith.
You got to put a flag in the sand, man. You got to say, you know, you got to stand for something. Of course, you don't just say, well, we're not going to win, so we don't buy.
Exactly.
A lot of this is just to get it on the record and to get senators and to get congressmen to say out loud what how they vote, so and people know
incremental.
Where they stand.
That's incremental, because it may not happen right now, but it'll Correct. Be an incremental process in order, you know, for whatever it's going to happen, expanding the court, getting them knocked off, whatever it is, it's got to be incremental, because it's not going to happen right now. And so all these people out there going, we're never going to win, we're never going to get this, it's like, stop with your fucking negativity, because we have to try.
I don't
try.
Know how to turn, you see what I posted. I have been trying to, change the narrative was a tag I was using for a long time, because we're keeping the story alive. Yeah. Every time we say, oh, look at this horrible story about Biden, well, we've just then done their bidding, done their distribution, and did exactly the opposite of what needs to be done.
Yeah.
If you know it's a horse race, don't put that crap out there. Don't start, we can change the narrative. And I think that the reason the publications are finally starting, you're seeing a little bit of a turn. You can look and see, I posted 3-4 days ago, said, we're seeing it shift. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, where? I said, watch.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a week or two.
Yeah.
It's happening slowly.
Yeah.
But I do think that enough Democrats, both on the ground and even pundits, people like Molly Youngfest, that are out there saying, why aren't people talking about Trump problem?
Right.
Why aren't we talking about these issues? Why are we not talking about this is a convicted felon? This is, and Molly said the other day, and this was unbelievable, he's still on bail.
I know.
He's on bail.
Yeah.
Okay. So people are just not saying that. But we have enough good punditry, and we mm-hmm. have enough strong Democratic voices that are opening our mouths, Crockett, all these people mm-hmm. saying the thing, right, that stop talking about one debate and start talking about the guy that's trying to burn democracy. And I think that we're seeing a little bit, we're really starting to see, because look, at the end of the day, the press is going to give us what we want. They just want to poke us with a sharp stick, because it's all about being emotive, because the more emotional you are, the more reaction you are, the more you'll share it, the more you'll react to it. And that's what they want, mm-hmm. right? They don't care what the collateral damage is, even if it's democracy. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about money.
Money.
Right? However, if they start to see that, and I don't know where this came from. I just posted it the other day that I said, the media drives the news,
mm-hmm.
but the moment we stop talking about it, it's not news.
Yeah. It's
so
stop true.
Talking about it and change the narrative, which is what we're doing, which is not by design, not like we're actually unified, but everyone is saying the same thing. Why are you talking about Trump? Why are you talking about this problem? And so I do think that all of those things together are sending changing the narrative just a little bit, right?
We're changing the
narrative from, it's getting tired. How many times could you say it was a slow debate? Nobody cares anymore. It didn't move the numbers. It's not making any difference. So move to the next thing, okay?
Definitely.
And if the next thing is, let's talk about why Donald Trump should step away, then I'm all for it.
And, we're going to talk about one of these narrative changing things in just a second, but I'm going to take a really quick break and be back after this message. Hey, real quick, this is Kimberly. If you're not supporting the show, please visit patreon.com/startmeup. You'll see all different tiers and you can choose one to support the show today. Thank you so much. Okay, we are back. So what I want to bring up is, this is fucking awesome. Gay hackers leaked into Heritage Foundation. What are they called?
That's just fabulous.
What is their name?
The Furries or something?
The Furries. Oh my God, do you fucking love it? So they hacked into to Heritage Foundation, and they found a video of Donald Trump talking about Project 2025 after, he's told everybody he doesn't even know anything about it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
right.
So I think, first of all, we have to keep calling it Trump's Project 2025. Don't just
100%.
Call it.
We put it around his neck and make him wear it like an albatross.
Yes.
Right?
And oh my God, it's so terrifying. Like, I made a prediction today that the First Amendment to Trump's Project 2025 would be basically disenfranchising women. I don't think that we would have the right to vote. I think they can't say that before the election.
Do you know what the name, the actual name of Project, the full name of Project 2025 is on the website?
No.
It's the Project 2025 Presidential Transition Plan.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. It is all about the next presidency. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I don't know. 25, 24, 22. What was that? Oh, I don't understand. Did somebody, give me a break.
Did someone just say sharks? So,
it's like your face is orange. No, it's not. My face is never orange. Right? I can see it, though, you know? So at some point, it only goes so far. I can't believe this boy has tried wolf for 50, 60 years straight and gotten away with it. But at some point, I do think it's wearing thin.
Yeah, I think so. I just can't imagine. I can't imagine as we move forward. Can you imagine the things that he's saying right now don't make any sense. I mean,
they're insane.
He makes Sarah Palin look like a scholar.
Sharks and water batteries. And I mean, nobody is talking about the insanity.
No.
I mean, well, we're starting to see a little tiny bit. Let's not, as we would say in Yiddish, let's not give it a Ken O'Hara so fast, right? Let's not knock wood. Yeah. But it does, I agree with you that it does feel as though we may be turning the tides. And I also feel as though what we're saying, both in, like, just like you, in your podcast and on social media, independent journalists, mm-hmm. pundits on television, we're all seeing this lack of conversation about the big problem. It's the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. And I do think, in a way, this conversation has become a little bit of a rudder for the press. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Well, and then, of course, let's move on to the fact that there's all kinds of good news when it comes to inflation. So inflation declined.
Hysterical. Wait, I have to just say this, that I posted it. I don't remember who the idiot was, but it was some Republican the other day when they were talking about whether they were going to whether they would or when they might address interest rates. Mm-hmm. And what was quoted was this Republican, I think, senator or congressman, who said it was a very bad message to do any rate increases before. To who? The Republicans?
Yeah.
You'll be screwed. You don't have the border. You're not going to have, you don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They want everything to continue failing.
Uh-huh.
So what the Republicans said was like, no, don't do it and help people. Right?
And
we
need
that.
Yes.
We need it to be bad.
Yes, exactly. They need it to be bad because they've got nothing else. And so here's
the report. I'm sorry to jump on you there, but.
That's okay. Here's the report. It says it actually declined 0.1% in June. That's the first decrease since the pandemic month of May 2020.
Exactly.
Gas prices have declined because of Joe Biden, because he specifically, I can't describe what he did, but he did the oil reserve thing or the reserve thing so that they would come down this summer. Electricity prices declined in June and rent had the smallest monthly increase. So we are going to see differences this summer.
If I may add.
Yes.
That our Fed chairman is a Republican, as are many of these presidents.
Yeah.
Okay. And vice versa. This, Elizabeth Warren got hysterical when Biden did not remove him.
Yeah.
and Biden said at the time, I think he's doing the right thing. I think he gets it. Mm-hmm. I think they know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's always kind of overlooked. But there are a lot of like the Fed, like Powell in this administration that have been doing a good job that Biden would not throw out because they were Republicans.
Yeah.
Because he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. He really does get it. And he's more of a bipartisan president than we've ever had, I think.
He is. And
I need to throw that in there, though, because I don't think a lot of people realize, wow, this is really happening in inflation. These are the best people doing the jobs.
Yeah.
Some of them are Republicans and some of them are Democrats, but they're Biden's people.
Yeah.
You know?
And he has been working, he said in 2020. I'm going to reach out across the aisle. And he's done it. And a lot of people argued with him, you're not going to be able to. But he's done it because he's been around forever. And, you know, I mean, I remember in like 2022, we just kept hearing, you know, nobody hates him. They want to hate him, but they can't hate him.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, they could hate Hillary that because she's a woman and because, you know, she's aloof or whatever they want to, she doesn't smile enough or whatever bullshit they come up with her, about her. And then they're going to hate Kamala and they're going to say all the things about Kamala. But Joe is an old white man. And here's the other part of it, though. Going back to all of this, you need to drop out. What it looks like, because it is media manufactured, it looks like they're bullying the old, nice white man. And you just can't do that. I mean, you could bully Trump because he's not a nice man. But you can. But everybody knows, even Republicans know, that Biden is a good man. And this just looks like we're bullying. And yes, he's fucking old. Duh. And he has a stutter. Duh. We've known this forever. He's a gaffe machine. That, you know, we were talking about him being a gaffe machine years ago, even before he ran for president. That's just what he does. And so it's like, I'd like to set expectations too, not that I have the ear of the entire nation, but if there is a debate in September, I do trust Biden is going to be a lot better. I think he's learned. But even if he's going to sound old because he is old. And expectation of that instead of being surprised by it.
Of course. And I think that, I mean, personally, I think he really does well in the town halls.
Oh my God, he's great.
Doesn't have a prompter, doesn't have anything. He's off the cuff. He's, you know, he does great. And I really do think that instead of debates, they ought to do more town hall stuff.
I agree.
I think that, you know, I'm 67 years old.
Really?
Okay. I'm not now. Right. So, I mean, okay, I'm not 80.
you but not I'm 67, that I think that's, but I just
and I can tell you that I sometimes walk into a room and say, "What am I doing here?"
Oh, I do it all the time.
What did I come in this room for? What do I? Or that someone will ask me about a friend that I've had forever, and I'm like, I can't think of their name.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and I think that aging. This is all ageism, racism, bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing to any of this.
Nope.
And, well, you know, there's a good reason to think. Why is there a good reason to think? Chuck Grassley's 90, 92, whatever. He's running again. He's been 104. Give me a break, okay? This is what they have, and this is what they're using. But too many people, and then, you know, Jen Psaki had a bad night, okay? Mm-hmm. She really did have a bad night. But let me tell you something. She worked for this guy. Her first story, if there was anything to say about something wrong with Biden, would have been her first story.
Yes. That's so true.
She never said a word. She's never said anything contrary. No one ever has. Mm-hmm. And everyone close to him that is credible has said, this is not the case. He's an old guy. Sometimes he walks the wrong, you know, but he knows, he understands. He knows what to do.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, he's orchestrating.
We can't throw wisdom out the window like that. It's foolish.
No, and he's not only heading the NATO conference, he's orchestrating it. So
same time that he's got to defend that he decided to stay in the race.
Yes, and I just want to add to the people who are screaming about his stiff gait. I've got one too when I wake up and I have arthritis. So when I sit down for a long period of time or if I get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night or whatever, I kind of limp for a minute. Because I've got arthritis just like he does. It doesn't mean my brain is dead. It just means that I have arthritis. And so, you know, I mean, it's like, I'm just so tired of all of this. And anyway, it really comes down to this. It's not about Joe Biden. It's not about any one person. It's about saving us from fucking Trump's Project 2025, which will turn 1,000% this country into neo-Naziville. So, and worse, I think, you know, I mean, now people can compare him to Hitler because we do see the parallels, but for the longest time on social media,
he quotes him. I mean, he's quoting my comp. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah. I mean, and for the longest time you get kicked off of social media.
The most difficult part of all of this for me is that we're even having a conversation about this disgusting criminal crook, woman abuser, rapist, convicted felon. Is competitive for president of the United States. That's the most, that's the saddest,
that's
most
insulting.
Disturbing thing for me about America. That said, I really do not believe that He's going to win.
No, and I just really don't.
And I think that when you say to people like, oh, well, what do you want? What do you like? Well, you know, people will say they like a lot of stuff, want a lot of stuff. It's not relative to what people are going to do when they actually vote.
Right. And I, you know, I want to bring up this whole thing about the Epstein file being released. Now, there was a...
Somebody brought that up. Ari Melber, somebody the other day just said, well, we're not talking about it.
Yeah, well, I think the reason they're not talking about it is because, like, for instance, I had seen the interview back in 2016 where this woman was claiming that Trump had raped her, and I believe Gloria Allred was the lawyer. And yes. From my understanding, there were death threats and there were all kinds of threats, and so the case was dropped. Now, recently, Rachel Bitticoffer, when the Epstein files were dropped, Rachel Bitticoffer found an excerpt where... You know, it was Trump basically making 2 12-year-old girls perform sexual lesbian acts. And there was other things involved. And so, you know, I saw a couple of lawyers on thread saying, you know, this has been debunked. I'm going to say this. I took it down for the reason that reporters aren't reporting on it because they cannot verify it for whatever reason. Maybe because they were threatened. I don't know. But I believe it's true. I believe this happened. If you listen to what Noel Kassler said, he talks about this at length, that there's, you know, a place in New York where it's like Russian owned. And so, you know, hey, come fuck our 12-year-old girls. And then you don't have to be a Republican to fall for it. More Republicans do it. But it's just one of those things where then they get you on tape and then they've got blackmail on you. And of so I think that I don't know why. This young woman decided to drop the case, but I'm sure it's because she was, you know, I'm sure there's something scary going on behind the scenes.
There was intimidation. Yes. And look, you also have to recognize the fact that we just saw Stormy Daniels,
yes.
who's really had balls of steel,
yes.
tell Maddow, this is why I didn't want to do it. This is why a lot of girls don't want to do it. This is why a lot of women don't want to do it. It's because we come, they don't believe us, they treat us like shit, we're whores, we're this, mm-hmm. we're that. We have to defend ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and it really is true. You know, this is a really terrible truth in society.
It is.
Right? We don't believe women.
Anita
Hill. We didn't believe anybody. Kavanaugh. We didn't. What was her name?
Oh God, I can't think of it. But I know here's the Kavanaugh. Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
Anyway,
well, yeah. I want to. You know, the story. One of the things in the Epstein files was that. One of the girls who claims that she was tied up in bed and violently raped by Donald Trump said that mm-hmm. he didn't use a condom, and she asked him to use a condom and he said no. And basically mm-hmm. at the end of it, she cried and worried she would be pregnant. And he threw money at her and said, get an abortion. But Stormy Daniels said he didn't use a condom. So there is, you know, that through line
there's
right
some,
there.
Yeah. Right. Circumstantial corroboration.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, no, we can't prove it. And I'm not going to, you know, I mean, I understand why the mainstream media is not going to talk about it, because I guess they just don't have. Although I will say this, if it were Joe Biden, they'd be talking about it 24/7.
And they don't have any proof there. So why are they, how is it different? Oh my God, the Parkinson's was there 8 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there 10 times a year before, and he goes all the time because that's his job. And he didn't go see Biden. It's all in the record, and this is where he went.
Yes.
You know? But they're still talking about it.
Of course they are.
Right?
Even though it's
because
been disproven.
It's gaslighting. You don't have to, you know, say it, you know, you say it enough times. And,
yes, and that's the whole thing. Just keep saying it, just keep saying it, just keep saying it. And then you have the idiots who don't bother to do their own research, and they just take it on. So, I mean, but you know what? Unfortunately, or I should say fortunately, it's about 30% of this country. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not the biggest part. It's sad that it's that high, but it's not the majority of Americans. So I think we just have to keep that in mind. And, you know, I mean, all of everything we're talking about today, I mean, I think, again, I'm going right back to the beginning. I feel optimistic about this because I think once, I don't know when the calls for him to drop out are going to stop, but they will stop eventually. And mm-hmm. that's when the focus goes right back onto Donald Trump. And in the meantime, you and me and all these people on social media, everybody who's listening to us, put the focus on Donald Trump. I mean, we can defend 100%. Biden. You know, we will defend Biden when we feel it's necessary, but we just have to, you know, not only defend him, we have to talk about all the positives that he's done. You know, it's funny because Jamie Harrison was on my show and he said, Democrats, you know, they respond to hopeful messages. And it's like, yeah, they do. But what motivates everybody, because I'm very Rachel Bitticoffer about this, is fear. Fear is a much bigger 100%. Motivator. And so we
It's all
we
a motive. It's all fear yes. is a motive, right? Yes. It's all, you know, you got to, they, you know, it's all poking with a sharp stick. And I want to say that now that I'm in Philadelphia, I would, you know, I read the Inquirer for many years. I grew up here. I lived here when they threw the paper on your doorstep, right? Yeah. But over the years, I got more sophisticated and I was buying, you know, many, many other subscriptions. And I lost somewhere the Inquirer along the way. Now, of course, I'm reading the Philadelphia Inquirer yeah. again. And it really was compelling yesterday when I looked down there and it was like local Teamster guy, you know, offered somebody money or some shit. And so they're going to go to jail for like 20 years. And all these people that, like, you know, like wiped their ass with the wrong piece of paper that are all being persecuted for being, you know, for doing things 1,000th as bad as Donald Trump. And this guy is literally murdering people on Fifth
yeah.
Avenue
yeah.
and just getting through it. So, it really is frustrating it is. Because what America really wants is some justice.
Yes, it is. And, you know, today would have been the day that Donald would have been sentenced. But I think we're going to see sentencing in September because nothing he did was official. Nothing.
No, he did
nothing.
Not in this capacity.
Yeah.
No.
So I just
the whole point is it was to influence the election. He did it before the election. That's
yes.
the point.
And cutting
right?
checks
so
to Stormy
you,
is, exactly, is not official.
You can't could be official if you haven't even had the office yet. So, I mean, you know, that's really hard one to figure out.
It
but,
is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Anyway. We're going to wrap this up. But before we go, two things.
Yes.
Number one, I am on vacation next week, everybody. So no shows. And briefly, we're going to talk about the new film that you're working on. I want you to tell everybody about it because it's so different and it's so yummy.
I'm going to talk briefly about it, but I'm going to ask you to bring me back when the film comes out.
Oh, hell yes.
It's a documentary called Sergio Dandoli's Happy Life. Mm-hmm. And it was my first documentary, but it was I went on a family vacation, and I went to hear this guy speak, and in 5 minutes, it was transformational for
wow.
me. It's about, you know, award-winning gelato maestro, who is one of the few that is given the National Living Treasure. But really, gelato is just a part of his, he uses that as part of his useful message, which very much revolves around him finding the first biodynamic farm in Italy, what we eat, how we eat, how it really impacts our health, what we're doing to ourselves, ultra-processed food, mm-hmm. and what it means to have a sustainable world where you actually treat animals with respect and the earth and the planet and everything is sustainable. And at the end of the day, it all actually is a better plan.
Yes.
You know? So it really was like humanity just slapped me in the face. It's a G-rated, wonderful, beautiful story about his journey that ended in one of the most successful gelato shops in the world, and of which Nancy Pelosi is hanging on the wall. You know, her picture's on that wall, and he said, you know, everybody was mad because when she came into Florence and they asked if he wanted to come and meet her, because she's all about ice cream and she wanted to understand the difference between ice cream and gelato. And they talked so long that somebody came along and said, no, she has to go. She didn't get to speak to anybody. You took all of her time. He said she wanted to know, what was I supposed to do? You know, but it's a wonderful story. He's a marvelous storyteller. And for people that really do love animals and love the planet and care about the quality and the integrity of what we're putting into our bodies, it's really a beautiful story, and very, very, very excited.
Oh my god, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm definitely gonna have you back.
Thanks.
And then just briefly also tell us a little bit about the other film that is out right now.
The other film that's out right now that I released in November is called Shoulder Dance. You know, it's a story about best friends that haven't seen each other in 20 some years, and one is straight and one is gay. And it really, you know, there are a lot of layers. Mm-hmm. It's about best friends. It's about reconciliation, and it's about completion. You know, I mean, I think so many of us have had, you know, sexuality aside, you know, mm-hmm. we've had best friends when we're growing up that we, you know, we're developmentally getting mature. We have a hysterical fight with them. We hate them and we never speak to them again. Right. And then, you know, 20 years later, people say, well, you had a fight? Like, I don't know. Yeah. You said, oh, it was because she told that guy. And she says, no, it isn't. It was because you told that thing. You know, so sometimes, yeah. All of us have that experience where we've had a, you know, an argument or, you know, lost a really good friend in some way. And I think that particularly when we're younger, if we have really close friends and we have, you know, emotional intimacy and we're really close, that when those things break up, we carry a lot of that baggage for years. And sometimes we just take it from relationship to relationship to relationship until we have an opportunity to have closure or resolve it in some way, whether you go to therapy or however you do that, right? And so this is a story of completion in many ways. Wow. And sometimes you just can't move on in life until you complete the thing that you did. And this is also very complicated because it's two men and one is straight and one is gay, and it's been a really long time, and you know, he's got his girlfriend there and he's got his boyfriend there, and so, you know, it's an interesting look at the very, very, very fuzzy lines between love, friendship, sex, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, all of that.
Wow, that's awesome. And you know, as you're talking about it, it reminds me, I had a falling out with my best friend a long time ago.
Wait, before I have to say this, because if I'll be in so much trouble if anyone hears this and I don't say it and you cut me off, I'll die. It is now available everywhere. It's on Peacock and it's on Tubi. You can go watch it for free.
There you go. Okay. And I'm going to watch it hopefully this weekend. I have a friend of mine, we had a falling out years ago. We were both in our 20s. And it's funny because I she had contacted me, I think it was in like 2010, and I didn't respond. And, you know, and so I just didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't, right. So I just chose not to.
You weren't ready.
I wasn't ready. And so I've seen her on social media. I'm sure she looked at me. I look at her. And so I did reach out to her on social media, and I wouldn't call us friends. But, you know, and I will say this, we had the falling out and we were both in acting class together, and it, for a while we didn't talk, but I just decided.
And when she slapped you, it wasn't part of the script.
Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I really just kept pushing her in a way. It's like, I'm just, we don't have to be friends, but we could still be friendly. And it got to a place where we were friendly and we could sit, you know, before acting class and talk and have conversations, and there wasn't any weirdness or animosity. And so that was good. So now we're kind of back to that, you know, I mean, it's been all this time. It's been so many years, because I left my acting studio in 1999. That was the last time I talked to her. So it was last year that I kind of hit her up on social media. I'm like, hey, and, you know, it was great because we're probably never going to be friends again. She lives in California, and maybe we will have dinner one night, maybe we won't, but it feels good because, you know, I mean, I genuinely feel she's a soulmate. I believe we have soul contracts, and I think she's part of mine. And it doesn't mean it doesn't mean you're compatible. It doesn't mean, you know,
but you could kind of let go of even ever thinking about, oh, I had a fight with her.
Yeah.
That's complete for you now.
Yes.
Right?
And it
so whatever
really
happens
good.
Moving forward is good or bad or whatever the case may be. But what you got to do is you got to drop the baggage about, oh, God, there she is, the thing we had the fight.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the, oh, hello. You know,
right.
So the energy around that is gone.
Yeah.
And just frees up whatever. I did it because she hated me, or I did it because I wasn't good enough, whatever those things were, you're not carrying them around. It's, you know, you're free now. And so,
and it feels good. It really does feel good because, I mean, I certainly wasn't carrying hate or anger with me for years. It just, you know, it played out the way that it did. It was upsetting at the time. We both moved on. I can't speak for her and how she felt about it, but I mean, I got over it, and I'm not a person who holds on to grudges. I don't hold on to hate, because I realize we're all just human, and we're all going to fuck up here and there, and sometimes we don't realize it, and I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm just not. It's just, we, you know, in some mm-hmm. cases, you can't continue, because you have to have those boundaries and everything. You have to protect yourself. But I that's a great idea for a movie. And of course, there would be layers, because we are
and
all.
I do want to tell people, in full disclosure, it's a druggy, sexy film. And so I think it was, I don't know, John Waters that said you read every bad review once, mm-hmm. every good review twice, mm-hmm. and you never look back.
Totally.
But I will say that some of my what was my favorite was negative was straight baited into gay porn. I wish I could respond to some of these, because I said, well, I guess it depends on how you define straight and how you define gay and how you really define porn. Or you've never seen porn before, because I don't know about you, but this isn't any of the porn I've seen. Over people's shoulders, of course, you know.
Yes.
But it is, I think, because it cuts very close to the bone, it is a love it or hate it film.
Right.
Fortunately, a lot more people love it than hate it, but, you know.
Not surprising.
I'm okay with that, because, you know, there's a saying that if you don't have some people that hate what you're doing or saying, you haven't said anything worth saying.
That's
right?
Very true.
And it's just like Rachel with emotion, with anger, right? Yeah. Hate and love, they're both very strong. So if I elicit either one, then that's done something, and that's made a difference.
Yes.
So, totally. Thanks for all the plugs. Plug, plug, plug.
Well, and the last plug is tell everyone where to find you.
Oh, jarnold.com, which is dreadfully out of needs to be cleaned up quite a bit, but I'm Jay Farrell Arnold on Threads and Instagram and TikTok and everywhere else.
Awesome. Well, you know, Jay, I just love and adore you, and I'm so happy to talk to you, and I'm so happy that we get to be optimistic together. So thanks for
me
being
too and I and I just want to tell everyone here that if I forgot for a little while that we were even on a podcast, it's because we have such a good time talking that sometimes I forget. So if I said anything offensive, please forget.
You didn't say anything offensive.
This was supposed to be a confidential conversation in which you were listening to.
Yeah, right. So,
thank you. I adore you and everything you, you can speak for me anytime.
Aww.
You know, I really do appreciate all of your posts and everything you've got to say and your point of view. And, you know, you're one of the journalists that, independent journalists that I count on.
I appreciate it. And I just love you to pieces. All right. So we're going to have you back on when your documentary comes out. It was great talking to you, and I will talk to you next time.